This is 5 Gospel Minutes of the International Gospel Hour, presented by Churches of Christ and individual Christians promoting New Testament Christianity. Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. What do your friends, family members, and neighbors think of your Christianity? If they are Christians or profess to be, they may regard you very highly. But if they are worldly people, they may think you are strange, or more properly, weird. In a recent Gallup poll, Americans were asked what kind of people they would prefer to have as neighbors. Near the bottom of popularity, well behind Catholics, Jews, blacks, Koreans, Hispanics, Vietnamese, Russians, and unmarried couples, came the Protestant religious fundamentalists. Only members of outright religious cults were found to be more despised. Why the American people have that view of religious conservatives should not be too hard to discover. One reason has been the negative language used by the media in speaking of conservatives or evangelicals. Does the Bible ever indicate that worldly people might think of God's people as being strange or weird? The Apostle Peter writes of activities in which the people of the world engage. Then he said, "Wherein, that is, in immoral behavior, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." 1 Peter 4:4. Why would worldly people think Christians strange when they generally refrain from activities which would hurt them and do good works within their communities? Worldly people and devout Christians have entirely different worldviews, worldviews which are incompatible. The expression, "think it strange," comes from a Greek word which means stranger. It is not unusual for worldly people to ask Christians, "You mean that you do not gamble or drink or commit adultery? What is your reason for living?" Try as you may, worldly people do not understand the motivations and behavior of Christians. They never have, and likely never will. Paul gives us some insight into Christian living when he writes, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on things on the earth." Colossians 3, 1 and 2. It should be of great comfort to Christians to know of men's attitudes toward their Lord and Savior as He walked among men. His mission on earth was to do good and bring men and women into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. But He was maligned, beaten, and crucified for His good work. People thought our Lord was strange. He was even accused of casting out demons in the name of the Prince of Demons. His own countrymen, and sometimes His own disciples, did not understand His purposes and goals. So Christians ought not to be surprised when the world does not understand us. It did not understand our Master. If Christians would compromise their convictions and go to the same places, engage in the same activities, and use the same kind of language worldly people use, we would probably not be abused and misused. But if they did that, they would cease being Christians. Peter said that ungodly people think it strange when Christians run not with them to the same excess of riot. In other words, they want us to run with the crowd. God warned the Jews, "You shall not follow a multitude to do evil." Exodus 23, 2. The word riot comes from a Greek word which means dissolute, a person who has abandoned righteous conduct. The word is rendered excess in the following verse, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Ephesians 5, 18. Jesus used the same word when He spoke of the prodigal son's going into a far country and wasting his substance in riotous living. Luke 15, 13. Whatever the world thinks of us, our allegiance must be to God and to His kingdom. Thank you for listening, and may God bless and keep you.